And it is time for our Smart Speaker series. Joining us today, Lindsay Broadhead, Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Advisor, and Amy Archibald Varley, Health Equity Specialist and host of Defiant Podcast. Welcome to you both.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We talked about this issue that the NDP has flagged about Michael Ford, MPP and also an Ontario minister. They're concerned about the language he used in promoting a community group called Frontlines. It's a youth charity. It helps with support programs, mental health support, warm meals, assistance with homework. And so there's this newsletter that went out, and it has Michael Ford, the Ontario Minister for Citizenship and Multiculturalism, saying, you know, the people in York Southweston who he represents are really going to benefit from Frontlines. And he says they have fantastic programs that will assist the youth in the future to integrate into society. Is that discriminatory or racist? Amy, how did you interpret that?
Well, I mean, this is where, again, I think maybe, you know, Michael Ford actually needs some EDI consultative help himself. Again, I think, you know, being in these roles where you have to be able to understand what it is to talk about other cultures and talk and work with other cultures, I think he missed the mark here. Words do matter. He might as well have said assimilate, because, you know, when we're looking at these types of integration types of politics, it actually means, if you're using the word integration, it's as a mean to improve the lives of Black people. It actually stigmatizes Black people in Black spaces and valorizes whiteness as a symbol of an opportunity or as the measuring stick of equality or equity. So this is where I take umbrage with the term integration. And again, I think this is where, you know, when you are put into these roles, you should have knowledge, skill, and judgment and or lived experience, which he has neither.
Mm-hmm. I guess, I mean, when I read it, I was like, okay, is there a certain population that doesn't have to integrate into society? I saw it as a youth thing more than a discriminatory racist take. But I hear you on an integration, that word. It's othering, isn't it, Lindsay? What do you think?
It is. And I mean, we're in a world where communications has mattered, you know, more today than it's ever mattered before. So it does matter. I think, though, where I stand on this is I see it as a colossal error from his team, rather than it being a point of view that he leads with. I haven't seen anything from him or heard anything from him specifically that actually embraces this notion. So I see it as certainly it could be an indication of, you know, failed leadership. We could put it in that bucket. I think it was a poorly worded memo. And that is kind of it. He responded back saying that, you know, it was a poor choice of words. I don't think, though, that the head of the NDP party right now should be spending her time wordsmithing at this level. For herself, I don't think it's good for her brand. I think that she should be aiming higher in terms of focusing in on even it could be equity and inclusion issues, but not at the community level and editing, underlining with a pen point of view. I think it actually belittles what I believe comes across as an error, but not something that was done with ill intent. And I think it diminishes her view and opinion on this. Now, I say this all with a huge caveat, which is if anything Council Ford does that was to, you know, make shine a light on the fact that this is his position, then that's something that Merrick can absolutely throw up the ladder again and shine a light on down the road. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think this is actually being blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm. Can I actually add the fact that he's pictured shaking the hand of a Black youth? Like, I think it's not just the words, it's also the images that yep. are causing concern, right? We have to put the two together and say that this is actually quite problematic. And you're creating an image of you and using the word integrate with Black youth, which is problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Comms fail 100%, Amy.
Yeah, and but then for the NDP to go after it, I mean, I hear Lindsay's point in that if you support this position, if you understand the impact, then you see that this political party is pointing out the micro and macro of systemic racism. But in yep. this effort, you are also making yourself politically vulnerable to criticism for making what seems to be an error into what Michael Ford stands for, right, Amy?
She can criticize other people's speech and also put forward her own platform. And again, just with any, when it goes with anything, we all, you know, if you live in a glass house, don't just be careful of what right. might come back as well. So I think you can still walk and chew gum, though.
I love it. I grew up in Rexdale. I was told to integrate my whole life, right? So I love that we're honing in on this. I feel like it's progressive. I don't think we're going to get everyone in an uproar about it, but I really appreciate your take on this, Amy and Lindsay as well.
Yeah, no, it's a really troubled word. And I think yeah. there's a number of words that are troubled. Their meaning, are rooted in systemic failures mm-hmm. And are also rooted in separating us, not bringing us together.
Yeah.
100%.
The othering.
But it's absolutely the othering and putting people on the margin and doing so in an attempt to keep them there, right? It's purposeful. What's important, I think, in the discourse, though, that we have is that we attack those things that are done with intent and ill intent, because those are the behaviors we're going to change. And I just don't know in this case if the intent was there. It was a really bad mistake. Now, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be pointed out. And this is so interesting because it's at the root of so many discussions right now. And I think the whole idea of, the misuse of the term woke right now is driving me crazy. It's a positive word. It's not a negative word. Anyway.
I'm with you.
I was gonna say that's a whole other conversation. And yeah, I think black people need to take that word back because it has been used very negatively. And there's a lot of great reasons why that term came into power for black folks. And I think black people need to take that word back.
No, absolutely. Reclaim it, please. 100%. Because the people who are throwing it around just look foolish when they do. I want to move this. We have 2 minutes left here, but we just got confirmation from the Ministry of Labor, Immigration Training and Skills Development that yes, the paid sick days, the three that were brought in April 2021, will expire at the end of this month. Amy, off the top of your head, did you think that it would have been extended?
You know, as a healthcare worker and someone who's worked in healthcare, I mean, I think that the fact that it's not extended is not really surprising, knowing the fact that how important it is that, you know, sick days for healthcare workers are so important because really it incentivized healthcare workers to do the right thing when they were sick, not to go to work, because we knew that the spread of infection is very high when we go to work sick. I'm just disappointed that this is not something that's going to be longstanding, because I don't think people should have to choose between their paycheck and potentially spreading an illness to vulnerable people.
Mm-hmm. Marit Stiles is saying online that the NDP is fighting for 10 guaranteed paid sick days for all, and we won't ever give up. Lindsay, we have about 20 seconds, but your thoughts on this?
This is a political mess by the Tories. We keep punishing our frontline workers when if we had not learned that we should be raising them and celebrating them and giving them room to do their job and stay safe at this point, I don't know when we're going to learn. Big mess. They should renege on it.
God bless you, Lindsay.
Appreciate this discussion. Yeah. Our Smart Speakers series continues on the other side. We'll take a quick break for traffic. We have Lindsay Broadhead and Amy Archibald Varley joining us on this Wednesday afternoon and much more to discuss. Stay with us. Rashmi Nair with you as our Smart Speakers series continues. Lindsay Broadhead joining us, Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Advisor, and Amy Archibald Varley, Health Equity Specialist and host of Defiant Podcast. Lots of stories to delve into here. One that involves a TTC fare inspector just reading a group of young people who were caught not paying the fare to get on transit. And she just gets into it saying, you've got $80 pants on, you're wearing an $80 sweater, you have $100 shoes, you can afford to pay your fare. They got off with a warning, though. They didn't get the fine, which is a few hundred dollars here. But the video is at least circulating online, and it has a lot of people talking about people not paying the fare. We had listeners calling in, some TTC workers saying it is rampant, it is a very big problem, and it's not enjoyable for anyone else on these rides with people who are coming on and not paying their fare. And one TTC staffer said he's got people coming on with three-course meals just sitting on the bus eating without paying their fare. Lindsay, how big of a problem would you say this is, and what did you make of that fare inspector's video going viral?
Well, she schooled us all, didn't she? It was like a PSA. So she put us in her place. You know, technically, it's probably very inappropriate. However, it serves a real practical need, which is to express the frustration that so many of our TTC workers have every day, just making making sure people don't, you know, cheat the system. And it's a system that we talk about every day is so strained. It's a system that has, you know, is the place of congregation out of the cold. It is a place where there's increasing violence and frustration, right? So the fact that workers like her have to also deal with people who are cheating the system is a perfect illustration in my mind about where this all comes to a rub. And then you add on the, you know, very evident issue, which, you know, which is we can't afford the system as it stands. Mm-hmm. So please put your $3.25 in the meter. So I thought she did a great job, and they should subtly amplify it, not directly at the TTC, but subtly.
Amy, I felt bad for those kids, to be honest.
Sorry, I didn't. I mean, I remember a time when my mom would actually like roast kids like this all the time, but she did it really out of love. And I think this actually was one of those moments where it was kind of done out of love and compassion. And I really feel that it was actually handled in a really good way. And I'm glad that, you know, sometimes shame does help, as a powerful tool to correct bad behavior. And, you know, it might actually change their behavior. They might think about this before they do it again. And I think that I prefer this alternative to criminalizing their behavior. You know, I think the alternative could have been worse. And I'm glad that, you know, she schooled them. I think that it's, they had to eat their humble pie. And I'm glad it was handled the way it was. And I hope that they don't do it again. And if they do, they get that bill and they could take it home to their parents, and they can explain to their parents how they got that bill.
Okay, let's talk about the mayoral race here in Toronto. In the next hour, we will be joined by Scarborough Guildwood Liberal MPP Mitzi Hunter, who announced today her intention to run to become the next mayor of Toronto. Amy, your thoughts on Mitzi Hunter joining the race?
You know, I'm glad to see that there's another Black woman running for mayor. Again, I think we have to look at discussing those top issues. And I think, again, it'll be so crucial to talk about what those tangible solutions are, whomever may be running. And I'm glad that more people are coming into this race, because I think it's important to hear a variety of different voices. But I think it'll be very important to hear what's your platform on housing costs? What is your platform on poverty, safety on the TTC, shelters and you know, home for folks that are, or housing for folks that are precariously housed, inflation, city issues like infrastructure. I think those things will be really important to hear what Mitzi has to say. But I'm glad to hear that more people are joining the race.
I'm with you, too. The more, the merrier. Lindsay?
I agree.
Well, and it is becoming more the merrier, eh? It's, mm-hmm. Every day there's a litany of folks coming on. First of all, kudos to Mitzi for throwing her hat in the ring, because unlike other contestants, other runners, she has to give something up that's quite secure for her for a period of time. So that takes a lot of risk, and I think says a lot about someone's leadership. I think she offers interesting strengths. First of all, you know, we know that it's going to have to be be someone with strong provincial and federal ties. So she clearly has that at the provincial level. Situated in Scarborough is different and good from some of the other candidates. But I think Amy also, you know, hits the nail on the head, which is she, like all the other candidates, are going to have to cut to the chase and tell us what she thinks on the critical files. And then, you know, we're going to have to start weeding through the different candidates and see if she rises to the top. For this race, more than any other, we're going to need some strong, strong policy issues.
Mm-hmm. And a discussion on social issues as well, right? So it seems like they're as conservative as the city of Toronto can be at City Hall, it seems like there are more progressive ideas coming in. I'm thinking about Josh Matlow. There's still some rumblings about Olivia Chow. So does that matter to either of you if the last 10 plus years the city's been run from a more right-leaning mayor? Does right or left matter when it comes to June 26th? Lindsay?
I'm kind of lost in the whole political cycle of left and right. What I want in a leader, and I know we need, is fiscal stewardship. We need someone who can increase the amount of money we are making in the city and decrease the amount of money that we are spending. And that can be done through any number of different mechanisms. Right now, we're spending too much. And then we need to focus in on the key items, which I think are often business led, but they have incredible social outcomes. The first domino for me is always housing. It's not just about homelessness and, you know, large homes. There's a litany of houses in the middle that need to accommodate all different kinds of people and different kinds of income, and we don't have them. So once we get that stuff right, a lot of our social ails lift, including health. So those for me are the key items that can be tackled from the left or right, but they need to be addressed head on.
What do you think, Amy? You think the city could go in a different direction, or does it matter to you?
You know, I think what matters to me is making sure that we have a government that will provide and a mayor that'll provide radical transparency. I think that's one of the things that a lot of folks have missed out on. A lot of folks are looking to hear. We want that transparency within our leaders. And I think that'll be really hugely important. And I think that, yeah, you're right. We need to look at those various social determinants of health, like housing, poverty, income. Those things mean a lot to people in Toronto. And I really hope that whatever leader that we choose, those are things that they're looking to put at the forefront of their mind to make sure that, you know, all Torontonians are healthy and safe and can thrive, because right now a lot of people are suffering out there.
Radical transparency.
Radical. Yeah. I'm going to steal that.
I'm stealing it too. Let's just all go
okay.
with it.
Radical transparency.
Thank you both so much. Here. Appreciate your time and your insights as always. Amy Archibald Varley, health equity specialist, host of Defiant Podcast. Check it out. Lindsay Broadhead, strategic communications and public affairs advisor, rounding out our smart speaker series on this Wednesday afternoon. Much more to come, including a chat with Mitzi Hunter. Stay with us.